2:26. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him."
ヨハネによる福音書12章20節から26節をお読みします。さて、祭りの時、礼拝のために登ってきた人々の中にギリシャ人が幾人かいた。この人たちがガリラヤのベツサイダの人であるピリポのところに来て、先生、イエスにお目にかかりたいのですが、と言って頼んだ。ピリポは行ってアンデレに話し、アンデレとピリポとは行ってイエスに話した。するとイエスは彼らに答えて言われた。人の子が栄光を受けるその時が来ました。まことにまことにあなた方に告げます。一粒の麦がもし地に落ちて死ななければ、それは一つのままです。しかし、もし死ねば豊かな実を結びます。自分の命を愛する者はそれを失い、この世でその命を憎む者はそれを保って永遠の命に至るのです。私に仕えるというのなら、その人は私についてきなさい。私がいるところに私に仕える者もいるべきです。もし私に仕えるなら、父はその人に報いてくださいます。
Good to see all of you here again today. Welcome to JCCT. I'd like to start with some of the top fears that we, I guess, Americans face. This is from a Google search, top fears. Number 10, fear of getting old. And it says, young people normally aren't really fearful of getting old, but middle-aged men and women who are over 50 have this fear. And I'm like, 50? That's already old. What are you talking about? You're already old. No, just kidding. For those of you over 50. Fear of getting old. Some other top fears. Fear of public speaking. Fear of loneliness. And up there with those juggernauts is fear of death. And I'll be talking a little bit about death. But it's interesting that people fear death. And I believe it's this fear of death that oftentimes we keep something alive longer than it should be living. Now, I'm not talking about like euthanasia. Euthanasia? But I'm talking about in our own lives, putting to death things that should have been put to death a long time ago. Today's scripture reading, Jesus talks a little bit about death. He says, unless a kernel of wheat falls and dies, it doesn't produce fruit. But if it does, it produces much fruit. So death is actually a normal part of life. And according to Jesus, a part of life that we should be embracing to a certain degree. Because unless something dies, it cannot produce what it was purposed to produce. Unless something dies, it cannot produce what it was meant to produce. But before we get into that, let's look at what Jesus said. And Jesus answers them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Again, that hour was signaled by the Greeks asking about Jesus. When Jesus heard there was Greeks in that festival asking about him, he said, the hour has come. So there's some correlation between the Greeks asking about Jesus and Jesus knowing now is the time. And that's last week's sermon. I don't know if it's up online, but last week's sermon I said there's going to be some signs of the time that should trigger for us Christians when the last hour is. We are living in the last days, but we are not living in the last hours. And when certain things happen globally, we should recognize those things and say, the hour is near. That's last week's message. I will hopefully get into that some more because that's an interesting topic, don't you think?
Yes.
Two people think it's interesting. I might not tackle that. But it says, and Jesus answered, the hour has come for the Son of Man, Jesus himself, to be glorified. Now what if I said, and I came up here and said, it is time for me to be glorified, guys.
What?
Yeah, right, what? It's time for me to be glorified. What would you think I'm saying? When Jesus said that, you know, what was he saying? What does Jesus mean, it's time for me to be glorified? If I were to say, it's time for me to be glorified, maybe you'd imagine, oh, he thinks there's going to be a parade for him. Or it's time for him to finally get a big house, a new car, you know, things like that. If I said, it's my time to be glorified, you'd be like, oh, he's talking about being recognized here on earth. Or being given trophies or something like that. When Jesus said, it is time for me to be glorified, he was not talking about any of those things. In fact, when he says, it's time for me to be glorified, he was talking about his death. Isn't that interesting? You know, if I said, it's my time to be glorified, you'd probably be thinking, oh, it's his time to shine. That's not what Jesus was talking about. In fact, Jesus, later on in this chapter, in verse 27, he says, his soul is troubled because it's his time. My soul is troubled because my hour has come. So here's an important distinction to make. The distinction between eternal glory and earthly glory. See, when I said it's time for me to be glorified, and you thought, oh, maybe parade, house, car, whatever. Those are actually earthly glory. Nothing intrinsically wrong with earthly glory, but it's different than heavenly glory, eternal glory. Jesus, when Jesus says it's my time to be glorified, obviously he was talking about eternal glory and not earthly glory. When he says it's time for me to be glorified eternally, what it meant here on earth was he would be rejected. By his closest friends he would be rejected. Not just by those who didn't like him. Now there's one thing, if people didn't like me, rejected me, I'm okay with that. But if my friends started rejecting me, that's a little hard. That's difficult. Jesus' closest friends would reject him, would desert him. What did he mean when he said, I'll be glorified? That means people would start coming out and start lying about him. To the point where they would say, it is legal to put him to death. In fact, it is our responsibility to put him to death. When Jesus said, it's time for me to be glorified, what he meant was, people reject him, people will start lying about him, and finally, he would be crucified. It is time for me to be glorified. It is time for me to be crucified. Now, I don't think anyone thought that's what he meant when he made that statement. I don't think anyone would have guessed that. Let me ask you, who wants to sign up to be glorified. Who's ready to sign up for eternal glory. But before we answer that question, let me define what it means to be glorified eternally. In short, eternal glory, this side of earth, means glorifying God. Glorifying God with our lives. Verse 28. But in return, our hope is that as we glorify God on this earth, that there will be a glory reserved and revealed to us in eternity. Sometimes it may be revealed here on this side of eternity, but almost always, and for sure promised, is an eternal glory on the other side of eternity, where it will last for eternity. Amen. Eternal glory oftentimes means death on this side of earth to have something alive on the other side of this life. Verse 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, again, the double trulies, it means listen up here. It means amen, amen, before he even says something. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus makes it clear that the road to glory is paved through the life, through the death of self. Self-denial replacing selfish ambition. Self-denial replacing self-perseverance. Jesus will later explain that his death is going to be through crucifixion, and the crowd doesn't seem to understand. He's saying, wait, aren't you the Messiah? Isn't the Messiah supposed to remain forever? The crowd was expecting a glorification, a coronation for Jesus to be king. That's the glory they were expecting. They were not expecting, they were not imagining a crucifixion, a sacrifice. But that's exactly what Jesus meant. It troubled Jesus that's what's going to happen. The death of his life. The world, the crowd, they were thinking, coronation to become king. It's time for him to coronate to be king. And Jesus saying, it's time for me to be crucified. So that there could be fruit. I could bear much fruit. So that I could bear much fruit. Now, one of the biggest fears, as I mentioned earlier, is the fear of death. Let me ask a question. When was the last time that you allowed, not just allowed, but you intentionally killed something in your life? Not killed another person, don't answer. But killed something in your own life. So I'm talking spiritually, metaphorically. When was the last time you actually killed something in your life that God wanted to die? Usually, usually killing something, what God wants us to kill, is usually something that we hold dear to. Unfortunately, that's one of the biggest hurdles we need to overcome, because a lot of times what God wants to die is what kept us alive. What God wants us to sacrifice is for a long time what was our idol. It's what comforted us. It may have been what got us through. It's what gave us our friends. It's what gave us our identity. It's what gave us our purpose. How can I kill this? There's so much even sentimental value attached to this. So much of who I am and what I am is connected to this. And God wants me to put it on the altar and kill it. Stories like that throughout the Bible. You can make a case for stories like that with Joseph's life, with Moses' life, with David's life, with Daniel's life. Let me share a story of a man named Abraham who had that. Abraham given a promise, an incredible promise, a promise that defied not only just common logic, but defied the rules of nature. Abraham, already old, wife barren, promised to be a father to nations. He's given a promise by God, you will be a father to many nations. An incredible promise. Long story short, when Abraham was older than Kenji, he became a father. He did. He became a father to Isaac. Finally, after a long, grueling story, history of this, he finally becomes a father.
Give me hope, huh?
No, Kenji, that's not what I'm saying. Spiritually, Kenji, spiritually. Don't go sowing your seeds, Kenji. He has a child named Isaac. What happens? They say Isaac was probably a teenager by this time, but God comes to Abraham again. And he tells Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. I want you to put him to death. Abraham has a long history with God. So by this time, he trusts God now. With all of his heart. He doesn't complain. He doesn't try to allegorize it. Spiritualize it. In fact, he takes Isaac. Him and Isaac go up a mountain. And from Isaac's point of view, you got to understand, Abraham is already old, over 100 years old. Isaac, young buck, strong, able to carry the wood up. From Isaac's point of view, Isaac is probably strong enough to take Abraham now. If they got in a fight, Isaac would probably win. You ever get to that point where you're like, oh, I could take my dad now? I think I'm finally at that point. My dad is well over 70. I think I could take him if we fight now. But you know, anyways. So Isaac is probably at that point where he can probably, if they get into a physical altercation, take Abraham. But he doesn't. Abraham puts the promise on the altar. You gotta understand, Isaac is what defines Abraham. Isaac is the promise, the connection between him and God. Their relationship is connected to Abraham. All of that connected to Isaac. And Abraham is ready to put it to death. Angel comes, stops them, gives them an offering, and they offer up something else. In our lives, we will all have something that God will one day want us to sacrifice. Most likely the difficulty is it will be connected to who we are, what we are, even maybe our purpose. It will be something that have brought us through the hardest times of our lives. it will be something that probably defines us more than anything else. But the thing is, that thing that defined us, that thing that we thought was so precious, valuable, fruitful, is simply a seed for even greater glory. A seed for greater fruit, for better things. Going back to the story, Jesus will eventually be king over all the earth, over all the world. He will be. The crowd gets it right, the timing is wrong. He will be coronated one day. One day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. But it doesn't come until after his death and his resurrection. Until he puts this body to death and is raised in glory. Let me ask you, when was the last time you embraced death? I didn't mean for this sermon to be so morbid. But when was the last time you embraced death? We had a testimony. I didn't even plan this. Mike testified. He put his finances to death. He buried his last $5. But that $5 apparently was a seed to greater things. God came through. And that $5 represents more than just $5. I'm sure most of us, we could give $5 without even batting an eyelash, batting an eye. But for him, that $5 represented what he was going to live on. Let me tell you the fruit that Jesus bore, or will bear, for embracing the cross. He embraced the cross. What he bore was salvation for humanity. He bore the right to execute judgment, and he is worthy to execute judgment because of the way he embraced the cross. He also bore the right and the power to overthrow the prince or ruler of this world. Now is the ruler of this world cast out. He also bore, for bearing the cross, the imparting of the Holy Spirit to us all. Without his death, without his departure, none of these things would have happened. Imagine that. None of those things would have happened. Salvation would have been impossible. The prince of this world would have continued to rule over this world. For eternity, imagine that. And the Holy Spirit would not have come into our lives without Jesus embracing death. 25, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servants be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Amen. Let me read that last part. The Father will honor him. We live in a world that is becoming, I believe, more and more self-centered, isolated, impatient, etc., etc. And this is all the result of sin. And I believe it's a result of sin in the form of loving ourselves in this world. I need to emphasize that. In this world. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself. But when we love ourselves in this world, that love becomes twisted and perverted. It is when we love ourselves unto the next world then we begin to see clearly what it is that God requires of us. Jesus tells us to hate our lives in this world. In this world. Not hate our lives, period. But hate our lives in this world. This world is passing away. We are just resident aliens in this world. We are just passing by. Right? Man, let me tell you, it wasn't long ago, you know, in my mind when I was in my early 20s. In fact, I still think I'm in my early 20s sometimes. I'm like, ah, oh, dang, you know, I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, oh man, I'm really old. I talked to my mom the other day and she was like, I have wrinkles. I'm like, you're 70, mom, of course you had wrinkles. You probably, I shouldn't have said that, my mom. But she was like, oh, I got sick and I got all these wrinkles now. I'm like, mom, you had a lot of wrinkles before. But, you know, we just don't realize it. We just still see ourselves as eternal beings. Even though in this world we are not eternal beings. We are finite beings. Thank God, too, we are finite beings in this world because this is a fallen world. Jesus tells us to hate our lives in this world. What does this mean? I believe it is to actively, intentionally, and thoughtfully choose eternal things over and above earthly things, temporary things. Every day we'll have a choice. Do I choose the things of this world, or do I choose the things of the coming world? The way we act, the attitudes we have, the things we choose to do, all of those reflects what we value. And Jesus makes the claim, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. All of this is through the gift of the Holy Spirit that leads us. We actively choose God through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Through recognizing His voice. Now just don't go and start killing everything to death that you think, oh, I don't think God wants me to do this. I don't think God wants me to do that. Oh, I don't think God wants me to go to the U of A. Especially during finals week. Stop, don't use that as an excuse to stop studying, you know. I've done that before. I'm like, God doesn't care, you know, if I fail. That's not what I'm saying. Don't use that as an excuse to get out of things when things get tough. As the Holy Spirit leads us, though, the things we value, maybe things that God values, praise God, that's a gift. And then there'll be other things in our lives that we hold dearly to that God says, I want you to let go of that. I want you to bury it. Because once you bury that, there's going to be so much more that I want to give to you, through that death. And that is essentially and ultimately with our own life. I want you to bury yourself. Not literally, but I want you to die with me. Because what you sow, in the next you will reap. Paul alludes to this in 1 Corinthians. He talks about our heavenly bodies. And the more we sow here, the greater our heavenly bodies will be in heaven. Some will be like the moon, some will be like the stars, some will be like the sun, he said. That's for another sermon. But as we follow Jesus and as we bring things to death, I believe He will give us peace and joy that is beyond this world, beyond circumstances, regardless of what we go through, as long as we are following the leading of the Holy Spirit, I believe He will give us peace and joy to do these things. And in the end, hopefully in this side of eternity, I mean, I have that hope too, but for sure, promise on the next side. It says He will honor us. He will honor us. How many of you like being honored? Good. No, just kidding. I think all of us like being honored, right? And the greater the person that honors us, the greater the honor, you know? If I honor you, it's like, whatever. Not just kidding. It shouldn't be that way. But it is. But I don't know. But say somebody great honors you, right? Say the president. I don't know if you guys like the president. All right. Say, man, who you guys like? I feel like I can't really say anyone. Like it's going to offend somebody. Anyways. Just say the president of Australia honors you. That doesn't offend anyone. I don't think Australia offends anyone. But say someone great honors you. That's wonderful. God says He will honor you. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The greatest person that you can receive honor from says, I will honor you. And Jesus is telling us the way you receive these honors in heaven is through death here on earth. Embracing death on this earth. Let us pray. There are some of you here that already knows what God wants you to put to death. In fact, I believe you've put it to death and then you resuscitated it. You resurrected it on your own because it was too hard to live without it. For those of you struggling in that way, I do encourage you, put those things to death. Put it on the altar. Trust God with it. God is trustworthy. There is no one else who is trustworthy as God. He is also worthy. There is no one else who is worthy like Him. No one else who can compare to Him. Trust His intentions. His intentions are pure. His judgment is righteous. It is true. We live in a world where we question judgment. God's judgment is always true. Always righteous. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace. Holy Spirit, I do ask that You would begin to show us areas in our lives. Obvious areas, Lord, putting death to the old self. But also areas that are not so obvious, Lord. Putting death to good things that You want to be a seed to bear greater things. Maybe not greater things here on this side of earth, but surely greater things in eternity. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we would be men and women of God who seeks after true riches, crowns that You have reserved for those who overcome. I pray, Father, that these men and women will be overcomers, more than conquerors in all that they do. That they would receive the highest honor that You have reserved in heaven. I thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.